Good morning and happy Easter. Thanks for having me on this wonderful Easter Sunday. You know, I wish Ali had left the hot cross bun and the egg and maybe even the sunglasses up here this morning, but hey, can't have everything. I'm going to start this morning with a story for us. The sand at the beach was centuries old, but it could hardly have witnessed a darker moment. The weather was bright and still, and it formed a contrast with men dressed in black from head to toe, coldly striding through the sand. Each one was propelling ahead of them a man dressed in orange. There were 21. You see, in 2015, ISIS captured these 21 Christian construction workers in Libya. They tortured them for weeks, trying to get them to deny their faith in Jesus, but they wouldn't budge. So ISIS executed them on that beach. I watched an interview with their wives. Their martyred husbands had moved from Egypt to Libya to find work so they could send money back to their families. And think about it, what a hopeless situation these ladies were left in. Many of them had begged their husbands not to go. They were abandoned as widows. They lived in poor communities. They were left to raise their children alone. Where should they find hope now? Where do we find hope? For some of us, we think, maybe if we just had a bit more income, a higher position at work, maybe we could afford a house, we could have a better lifestyle, and then we'd be happy. But if these widows had hoped in the money their husbands set home, their hopes were now shattered. If they thought that following their heart and fulfilling their dreams would give them hope, that seems like a distant dream now. All they can do is work hard and try and provide for their children to get by. If their hope was in their family and in their relationships, they now realize that the ones we dearly love can be here one moment and gone the next. When life gets dark, really dark, around us, where do we find hope? Solid hope. Hope that keeps us going. Hope that is solid and reliable. Hope that no one can take away, that won't be crushed in a moment. I'm going to risk sounding naive and overconfident here, but I want to show you this morning that Jesus is the only one who can give hope in the darkness. To be more specific, Jesus' resurrection from the dead gives us real hope. And this isn't just blindly wishing or using religion as a crutch. Rather, it's an assurance about our future based in reality. Jesus' resurrection provides true hope. But what do I mean by that? Well, there's three parts to it that we'll cover this morning. And the first part is this. Jesus' resurrection validates his identity. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we know he is who he said he is. But who did Jesus say he is? Well, let's turn back to our reading in Luke 24 today, the first part of Luke 24. Remember that some of the women who followed Jesus came to the tomb on the Sunday morning after he was crucified. The angels met them there, saying, "He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Did you hear that little term in there, Son of Man? What does that mean? Well, centuries earlier, like we just read, the prophet Daniel had spoken of this Son of Man. Daniel prophesied that he would be a human. That's literally what Son of Man means. but also that he would enter the throne room of God himself, and he would be given power and authority over every part of the universe forever. All nations and peoples of every language would serve and worship him, and Daniel associates him directly with the Most High God. In John's gospel, Jesus claimed that he and the Father are one. And by Father, he means God himself, God Almighty. Jesus claimed to be God, come to earth as a human. That's quite the claim. If it's not true, it's utterly blasphemous, isn't it? So the question is it true? Well, think about what the angels say after they call Jesus the Son of Man. They remind the women how Jesus himself predicted he would be arrested, he'd be killed, and then he'd rise from the dead. Now, plenty of people make grandiose claims about themselves, don't they? But they're often proved wrong. But not with Jesus. In our last reading, we saw Jesus himself entered the room with Jesus' disciples. They saw him face to face. They gave him fish to eat. They listened to him teach them. The prediction came true. Jesus' resurrection validates who he says he is. You see, hundreds of Jesus' earliest disciples were persecuted and killed for their faith. Now, many people from all different faiths and religions will die for their faith. ISIS is an extremist group, aren't they? Their views don't represent most Muslims around the world, but they're prepared to die for their faith. Now, they believe different things to Jesus' disciples. That's why they killed those 21 Christians in Egypt. So who's right? All of them are sincere. All of them are dying for their faith, but they can't all be right. Well, those 21 Christian martyrs and the ISIS militants who killed them have something in common. None of them were alive when the major events of their faith occurred. They never saw Jesus or Muhammad. They believe in them, but they didn't see them in person. They could just be mistaken, right? But that's what's incredible about Jesus' earliest disciples, the disciples in the first century. They knew whether what they believed was true or not. They had seen Jesus and lived with him. Hundreds of them claimed to have interacted with the resurrected Jesus, and not just once either, on occasion after occasion after occasion. And what did they gain? What was their motive? Well, they gained only persecution and death. If they're lying, why die for it? They would just back down, wouldn't they, if they're lying? No, their testimony unto death is strong evidence that Jesus actually rose from the grave. The most logical conclusion then is that God raised Jesus from the dead, and the resurrection proves that Jesus is who he says he is. God in the flesh. God's special son, Emmanuel, God with us. That means God himself has reached out to humanity to give us hope. And if up till now you haven't believed these things about Jesus, I encourage you, do your research. Look into it. Study it out. If Jesus really rose from the grave, surely you'd want to know. You can have hope that God himself came to earth on a rescue mission. Now, St. George's has a regular course called Taste and See, where you get to enjoy four meals, ask your questions, and look in more detail at what Christianity is all about. And if you're interested in that, just mark it on your card in front of you and put it in the letterbox, or you can come and speak to me after the service. For those here that already believe in Jesus, I want to encourage you. Live like Jesus is alive. the Son of Man really rose from the dead, and now he has authority over everything. This is a historical fact. It's not a myth or just a nice idea. And if that is true, that has to change our lives. So let that truth sink deep down. Let it give you assurance. Let it drive you to worship. Let it give you hope. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that validates his identity. Now, there's a second way Jesus' resurrection gives us hope. It proclaims his exaltation. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that God has lifted him up to the place of highest honor, to supreme authority over the entire universe. So now I'm going to get us to turn in our Bibles to Acts 2. Acts 2. So Acts was also written by Luke, by the way, so it's actually Luke part 2. From verse 14 onwards, Jesus' disciple Peter gets up and starts preaching to a big crowd. And we're going to look at part of that speech from verse 32 onwards. Acts 2:32. And this is what he says. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God. And we'll skip down to verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Do you hear what he's saying there? You see the logic? Peter says that Jesus was resurrected. Therefore, we know he is Lord. The resurrection is proof that Jesus is now ruler over all. There's nothing outside of Jesus' authority. He's enthroned in heaven with God Almighty. You see, if the resurrection didn't happen, Christ would not be exalted above everything else, because otherwise you're just exalting a dead man, a failed man, a nothing. If the resurrection didn't happen, then Jesus is just another crazy guy who thought he was the Messiah, and there had already been plenty of those. The Jews who killed him certainly thought that's what he was. The Romans who nailed him to that cross thought that that's what he was. But because we know the resurrection did happen, Paul says we also know God has made Jesus the boss of everything. Back when I was a graduate engineer, I remember working under Troy, the head of the hardware team. He was a calm, gentle, quiet guy, and you probably wouldn't have guessed he was the team lead. Well, in one meeting, several engineers started complaining about taking our electronic system through all the shock and vibration testing. They thought it wasn't worth doing. It would be a waste of time because we're still refining the design. I was pretty sure we were going to cancel the testing. That's where the meeting was headed. But then, Troy used his boss voice, you know? Like, I'd never heard it before. He wasn't rude or angry, but he got real stern, real firm. And he said, "No, we're doing the testing. Brad, you're going to handle this. John, you're going to deal with that." And all the other engineers just went quiet and just listened. And they all did what he said. I did a double take. I didn't know that, Troy. I hadn't seen that side of him before. You see, everyone knew in theory Troy was the boss, but then he showed us Troy's the boss. And that's what Jesus' resurrection does for us. It shows us Jesus is not just a silent sufferer. He is now enthroned as Lord of the universe. And what does that mean for us? Well, it means that our future depends on how we respond to Jesus. If we reject him or ignore him, remember he is not just a Jewish man who lived 2,000 years ago. His closest followers unanimously taught he is the one who has authority over everything, including our future. Those who disregard Jesus, then, should not expect a good future. Anyone who refuses to worship and obey him should expect God's punishment forever. But do you understand why Jesus came? He came because all of humanity already has rebelled against him. He's God, remember? We're all under his judgment. If we don't think we've rebelled against him, we just need to read what Jesus taught. It won't take long to see it. His standards are so high. But Jesus came to forgive. In fact, he died to forgive us. We deserved God's punishment, but on that cross, as a human, he put himself under the unrelenting torrent of God's judgment on humanity. God poured out all his anger at our rebellion onto Jesus, and he willingly chose to endure it. Jesus went through the torment of the cross so that whoever believes him can be reconciled to God. We can be 100% at peace with him. If we turn away from our rebellion and choose to follow Jesus, he will show us nothing but kindness. In his grace, he'll wash away every stain on your past. He forgives even the worst of sinners. What a great hope. When someone believes in Jesus, the Bible says they are then enthroned with Christ in the heavenly places. Followers of Jesus have an advocate in the highest heaven. Who can truly come against us and succeed? If Satan, our enemies, or anyone else tries to kick us out of heaven, they're going to have to answer to him. What an amazing hope. Thirdly, I want to show you this morning that Jesus' resurrection guarantees our future. Because Jesus rose from the dead, whoever believes in him has a bright future ahead. Now let's go back to Luke 24, and we'll look at the later section now. So when Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, they thought they were seeing a ghost. Look at what Jesus says to them in verses 38 to 39. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. They'd seen Jesus die, you see. And they knew dying is very different from sleeping. When you go to sleep, you always wake up in the morning, even if you feel like you're dead. But when you're actually dead, you don't wake up. So when they suddenly see Jesus standing in the middle of the room, they're terrified. They thought he was a ghost, but he wasn't a ghost because he wasn't dead anymore. He was alive. He proved it by eating some fish, and ghosts can't eat because they don't have bodies. He was really alive. They'd been so sad and scared after he died, but now he's alive. He's right there. He's back. He had the same body. He still had the scars from his crucifixion. You see, nails had pierced his wrists and his feet, and the scars were etched there for all to see. But Jesus also ate. He was now completely healthy. Not just that, he could suddenly just appear into a room, even though the disciples had locked the door. It was the same body, but it was also different, better. It was a body that couldn't die again, a body that would live forever. See, in Romans 6:5, the Bible says, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. All believers will die, but they will also all be raised to life. Just like Jesus was. We'll be resurrected in our bodies. But here's the cool part. Even though this body will be raised, it will also be different. It will be like Ryan Greats 2.0. Our bodies will be better, upgraded, no longer riddled by pain, disease, chronic fatigue, migraines, injury, and disability. Mental, emotional, and physical trauma and damage from our past will no longer plague us. But best of all, there will be no more death. Death has always been humanity's greatest enemy. We have a 100% death rate. No one escapes. But just because Jesus himself rose from the dead, death is beaten, gone forever. And when we're resurrected, like Christ was resurrected, we won't run out of time to do all the things we love. We won't worry about getting older and frailer and sicker and saving for retirement. We'll live forever with Jesus himself. Now that is hope. For anyone here carrying grief, perhaps you've lost someone. The resurrection means death did not get the last word. For those who trust in Christ, there is a real reunion ahead, not just some vague spiritual idea. Real bodies, real embrace. For anyone whose body is failing them, or whose mind is heavy, or who's just worn out from carrying too much for too long, there's comfort in knowing that this body is not the final version. Everything that's broken will be made whole. For anyone who's afraid of what's coming, know this. Jesus has already been through death and come back. He's not sending his people somewhere he hasn't already been. Listen, money can't buy you true hope. Career can't win you true hope. Families and relationships will always divide and break up during this life. And other humans will always fail you. One day, we'll die. This world is full of darkness, and it's easy to feel like the darkness is overcoming us. What about the wives of those 21 Christian martyrs? Did they have any hope? Well, let me read you what they said. Miriam, Sameh Salah's wife, said, "I'm thanking God. I'm not sad at all. I knew my Christianity because my husband died as a martyr. He didn't have an accident. Farewell is hard and it will remain hard to the end of my life. But I am not sad. God wanted them to be with him in heaven. God never abandons anyone." Azat Boshra Nasif's wife said, "How lucky you are. When your daughter grew up, she will be so proud of you, Azat. ISIS will regret and cry for all those sins they committed. I forgive them. I don't hate them. We thank God who will never abandon us." How could these women say such mind-boggling things? It's because they had true hope. The darkness did not overcome them because their hope is in the resurrected Christ. You see, Jesus' resurrection validates his identity. It proves to us that Jesus is not just a religious teacher. He's not just a false prophet. He is God in human form, solid, provable, flesh and blood. We have hope because we can know God through Jesus. Jesus' resurrection proclaims his exaltation. It shows that God exalted him to the highest authority. He's the boss of everyone. And so we have hope because we have a friend in high places. Jesus' resurrection guarantees our future. Because he rose from the dead, those who believe and follow him will rise too one day in new, healthy, indestructible bodies. Death, our biggest enemy, was beaten on that day 2,000 years ago. I trust you can now see where true hope is found. I thank God for resurrecting Christ because it proves to me this vital, life-giving truth. Jesus is our hope in the darkness. So let's not trust in earthly things that fade, break, and perish. Let's put our trust in Christ, our living and indestructible hope. God bless you all this wonderful Easter.